Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Malik yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
الحمد لله على كل حال على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is we will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
This is Riyad Abdul-Qayyum, a.k.a. the Black Man, representing Collegiate Records all day, every day. You know I listen to Kalima Abdul-Rashid, the Muslim reality show, all day, every day. Hey, hold on, let me take this phone call for a second. Yeah, hello? Assalamu alaikum. Now I'm doing the drop. For Kalima, the Muslim reality show. Yeah, nah, it's on right now. That's what I'm telling. Yeah, keep it tuned in, keep it locked. Yeah, Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, that's it. All right, Assalamu alaikum. Muslim reality. It's Muslim reality.
This ain't that kind of show, sister.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslima Reality Radio Show. Starring Kalima Abdul-Rashid.
If you are easily upset, offended, have high blood pressure, a weak stomach, and or no sense of humor, then this is not the show for you. The hosts do not claim to be scholars, sheikhs, or imams. They are simply providing a forum for the sisters. So keep your bit eyes to yourself. Salam alaikum.
Feels like I'm falling in love, falling in love. feeling so good. Standing taller than they thought I would. Tell them watch this. Negativity is dismissed. Yeah, push it out the door. Spread your wings, take flight so that you can soar. And more, appreciate the little things. There's much beauty that life, brings. Don't take it from me, yourself as a lens so you can see how it is to live when your heart is so free. Yeah, you know it's all love. And I say all this just because feel like I'm falling in love and I can't get stuck. Cause there's no luck and it ain't too much for me to make the best of my destiny. Feel like I'm falling up, yup. I'm so grown up and I can't get enough. But it ain't so tough that won't nothing get the best of me.
You guys, now for you guys to tune in to Muslim My Reality, you know I say every week, should you hear any blues, blunders, misfolks, e-bonics, mess up, kids, savvy dubs, phone ringing, door knocking, any disturbances, definitely misfolks, e-bonics, and illiteracies, you guys. I am definitely to be the first one to say it is me. I had my phone on mute, you guys, so you guys, I know you guys say, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Okay. I am here, you guys. I have to say thank you. But let me start over. I'm saying Bismillah is in the name of Allah. For all praise be to Allah, most gracious, most merciful, upon our holy prophet, Ibn Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his noble companions and righteous family, radiallahu anhum. May Allah forgive us the sins of the believers. Definitely have to say, you guys, assalamu alaikum, which means peace and blessings. It is freedom given to all mankind. Yes, so I'm definitely saying it sincerely. Definitely please forgive again for anything, you guys. This is a live show, worldwide, one take again. Thank you guys for tuning in and supporting. You are listening to Muslim My Reality, held here by AM 360. That is American Muslim 360. I'm your host, Karima, with Sissy Debbie Shankman. Have to say that alhamdulillah. Thank you for your patience. Again, that was DMD. That must be my diva. It is Paul Falling Up. Forgive for the first part of the show. Have to shout out to DMD, you guys. DMD, give me some salams, you guys. This Sissy do not give me salams at all. This is a reality show. Touching the heart day, you guys. Hey, it's real. You hear me? So I'm putting it out there just to give a sister land sometimes. Okay, that's my theme song. It's funny, someone told me, do not play it again. No, that's my theme song. I love sis. Never done nothing to him, but I don't do too much to no one except B.B. Kalima. So I'm giving my salams anyway, you guys. May Allah forgive me for anything I said wrong. But this is Kalima. Accept me for who I am. I definitely accept you for you guys are, but for who you guys are. All right, you guys, the time here is 5:13. The date here is 12/22/13. The weather here in southern Pennsylvania is a wonderful, scary 64 degrees. Prophecy foretold, you guys. Definitely thanking you guys for tuning in. We have a heartfelt show today for those who have a heart. Sissy Rehab Amir, she's going to definitely pronounce her name for me, guys, so you guys know to follow me. I mess everybody's name up. I'm asking you guys, please forgive me. So by all means, support this topic. Support this coach, this cause, definitely. You guys, to help push an act in Congress, a cause for humanity, to pass the HR, the Human Rights 102 Rehab and Ahmad Amir Foster Care Improvement Act, definitely. We, I'm going to fight this cause and help this cause to, that it will do, that just do not happen to another family, inshallah. It's definitely about humanity. God. Definitely. I'm finding that the care and the love and the concerns and the commitment is starting to go out the window. Inshallah, we have to bring it back. It seemed bleak and it seemed gloom, but no woe is me, no doom is gloom. The Muslims should not tarry too long. The Muslims should not be in despair too long. We call ourselves believers. We have to accept the decree. No, we're not made of paper, but alhamdulillah in the beginning of the day, alhamdulillah at the end of the day. So I definitely have to say that. I'm going to open up Sissy Debbie Mike. I think she was alerting me. So let me see what's going on. I sound like a Sissy Debbie.
Believer, I was pushing one, girl.
I see you giving me a lot.
I was pushing one. I called you on yourself. And finally, I just thought, I'm just going to surrender and be peaceful because I know she's got to figure it out somehow. Well, you know, I was doing my best over here, honey, I swear. Inshallah, I mean, I was doing my best.
Yes, I'm looking for you. I'm like, okay. So I'm looking up. Oh, yeah, she's letting me know. That's what's up. I had my phone on mute, Sissy Debbie.
Oh,
like,
my
okay.
God. So, Kalina, you didn't want to talk to me then. You had it on mute. I'm very insulted at this point, girl. I mean, I'm really upset. You know, you just didn't want to talk to me. Why don't you just admit it? Okay. Just kidding.
When I bring the switchboard up, you can hear everything that's going on. So I normally push it on mute before I go on, you know. And
right.
So I forgot to push unmute it. But alhamdulillah, how have your week been, Sister Debbie?
Oh, everything's been really great. I've been working every day because it's Christmas season, so I work every day. And people have just been coming up and buying from me and then coming up and telling me how much they like the products and how it's helped with their eczema or psoriasis or some skin issue they've had. So it's, you know, alhamdulillah, praise Allah, because, you know, it's like I really don't have to do much. He just keeps directing the people that need it toward me and they buy it. And I'm very grateful for that. But, yeah, I usually clear like anywhere from 600 to 400 to 300 a day in selling the products. I don't get that money. That goes to the store. But anyways, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah is so great, you know, to allow me to be in that store and to allow people to come up to me and to trust what I'm saying and allow me to reach people. So I'm very grateful. I enjoy myself very much at the same time. And the staff there, I love the staff there and the employees there, and they love me. And it's just a wonderful situation. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, alhamdulillah for everything. And I have to say this because you guys know that it is the holiday season. And because I have grown. I used to beat people in the head. But, you know, to you be your way, to me be mine. So I say this to say, I've seen a mailman running today. I'm like, okay, it must be because of the holiday season, because it's a Sunday. But I say this to say, you know, the mailman dropped the mail off. And he said, you know, have a Merry Christmas. You know, at one point, you know, in my way of life, I want to beat in the head and say all these negative things and those cats. No. I said to him, you know, do not do the holidays, but enjoy your holiday. Keep it moving. You know, alhamdulillah, because the Muslims are the best of mankind. But we do not supposed to represent in any type of negative form of negative way. It comes a point in time in your life when you learn, you live, and you learn. Every day the sun don't shine. Every day is not going to be a beautiful day. Things don't always go the way it seems. But you say you
well, as do you remember I once told you, I said, don't be too hard on non-Muslims celebrating Christmas because it's the only time they get to act Islamic. Really? I'm being very serious. No, I'm serious.
That.
You may laugh, but I'm serious
that.
Because
yes.
What Muslims do all year round, they do in the month of December, and that
they
is charity, helping people, being friendly, doing things. So
that's
it's the only chance they have to act Islamic, so don't take that away from them, Kalima.
Yes, mashallah. Hey, that's what I say. When you in my position, if you in my space, you know, and I have the time to give it to you, a little dollar, you know, I'm not going to beat you in the head with it. I'm going to make it as simplistic as I possibly can. But we know that there's no compulsion in religion. The truth stand up clear. Hara blue.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, blue will always be blue, you know. White will always be white, you know. I'm showing you this. If you see it, anything else, you know, that's on you. But, again, we have to say alhamdulillah. And now at times like these, we have to do what we have to do to keep our peace of mind. When we go too far to the right too far to the left, we're bricking anyway, you know. So keep it cool and keep it calm. Alhamdulillah.
And I'm really proud of myself because Ramadan, the host, came on Thursday, and he was just blasting Christmas, you know, just blasting it. And, you know, it didn't bother me. You know,
right,
so
I've grown too.
It used to bother me that.
Right.
No, I'm just saying it used to bother me that Muslims felt that way about Christmas, but now it's like, you know, it doesn't bother me. It's just I know what's in my heart during this time of year and what's in other people's hearts. But then, you know, I understand the Muslim perspective alhamdulillah, that I have that understanding now. And that's because of you and because of the people at American Muslim 360.
Right, alhamdulillah, because the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, you know, he fought, you know what I'm saying? It took him 2 years before he first spoke, but he did things with tact and kindness and wisdom and hikmah, which we dropped the ball today. You know, we have those that call themselves Salafi or those that, follow the four generations, which it stopped there because I don't see the love and the kindness that we, and I'm speaking about all of us. So, like I say, I follow those four, but not up to date because I think we dropped the ball in the heart and the care. And that's a whole other story, Sister Debbie. We have a great story today, and it is we have a great story. And I'm going to bring this back up.
Oh, please.
But this sister story is a heartfelt story, again, for those the heart. You know, I call this story a mother's love. But it is not a love story. It is not a love story. So, alhamdulillah, this sister, Amir, Rehab Ahmed, she is going to bring this story and give it to us complete, inshallah. But before I bring her on, I definitely, on the news, you guys, and Al Jazeera News, which is America, is this brother, if you guys go to my page, for those that's flipping through the internet or on Facebook, brother is, he's an imam, the first gay, which I'm saying get the knife, the first, that's where I'm at with that, Sister Debbie. I know how you feel about the little gay friends and all of that.
But we've all grown, yes.
We've all grown. This guy right here, is the first openly gay imam, you know, again, you can find this on
America. And where is this now?
You can find this information on aljazeera.com.
Okay.
The news, Al Jazeera, but this is the American news. He feels as though, you know, he studied overseas, had all the knowledge. So I would definitely call him intelligently dumb, but that's my brain. I'm sticking to it. And I say this to say it because with all the knowledge that he has, he even dropped the ball somewhere because the law said he is not even going to look at the gay or lesbians on the day of Yom Kiyama, the day of judgment. So I say this to say this guy, I mean, now, I'm understanding what you're saying, bro, but it's innovation. We're not down with that. So anyway, he feels as though that there are other gay Muslims and lesbians that bow down to Allah, and they feel, you know, their junk or their garbage, what they're doing is correct and or authentic, but they need somebody to support their cause. So this brother feels as though he is the one. So he, you know, is the leader of their cause. You know, he feels as though that no one should be condemned, not even the gays and the lesbians. So they need someone to bow down to. So he is, you know, the leader of that community. I say get the knife, but I'm not a law. So to you be your way and to me be mine. So that is the condition of the world that we are coming in and coming through. So, yes, if you go to my page again, Sissy Wahida Muhammad, Aslam Alaikum, she stuck that on my page. Again, it's Meet America's First Openly Gay Imam. And innovation jumping off. But you guys, hey, who feels it knows it. And that is that. But we're going to open up. I'm going to see you guys on here. So I'm going to open up 311-313 and see if this is our sister, inshallah. So,
Assalamu alaikum. Is your phone on mute? Oh, there she is.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I, you know, you got me lost because I don't know if I am on or not.
You're on.
Oh, okay.
You're on. We're listening to you. Assalamu alaikum.
You told me to call me at five, and I thought myself, you know, I'm not connected. I'm waiting. So, alhamdulillah.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, it's so good to have you. Thank you so much
for
coming up for the opportunity, and then God bless you for your talk show. I really appreciate it for giving me this time.
Alhamdulillah.
I thank you, Shifty, for giving me this.
Me too.
To allow me to change my heart and open my heart and not be so selfish in so many areas. Because we as humans, we find ourselves so connected and so enjoined and entwined in our own business and our own situations that sometimes we can't reach out to others, or we can't feel others, or we don't see the bleeding hearts of others. So I am thanking you. Alhamdulillah, may Allah continue to bless you and reward you. And please, oh Allah, let me make it through this show without shedding tears, because I am a crybaby.
I know, me too.
Oh, my goodness, I am a crybaby. So I'm asking you to please bear with me. And, you know, may Allah, again, I thank you. So I'm going to start from the end of your story, and then I'm going to bring it back to the beginning, inshallah.
Please.
And I call this story, again, a mother's love. And
yes,
it is not a love story. So I say this to say, because this sister has been fighting a long-time journey. She has actually fought a losing battle, but not a losing card. So I say that to say that she is a believer, and she's still standing, and she's still bold, and she's still courageous, and she's still standing firm.
Okay, and inspiring.
And inspiring, yes. So
yes,
we're going to ask you guys to be patient and listen to this sister's story. Inshallah, may Allah touch the heart of the believers, the non-believers, and anyone out there that has a heart. You guys, definitely when we finish this show, please follow the sister's story and support her cause. So I'm going to start from the end, and I'm going to bring it to the back to the beginning. The moral of this show is, you guys, definitely please support this sister's story. You can find it on Facebook. You can find it popbox.com, also YouTube. Again, I'm ending it to bring it back to the beginning. You guys, please, you are going to help this sister pass our Human Rights Act. It's a Human Rights 101, the Rehab and Aftermath and Mayor Foster Care Improvement
102,
Act.
102,
Sister Camila. 102, yes.
102, H.R.
Yes.
H.R. 102, it's a federal bill. Yeah, it's H.R. 102, the Rehab and Ahmad Amer Foster Care Improvement Act.
Yes, you guys are going to push this. I'm going to get, after I open this up, Sissy, this is all you, okay? So I'm going to ask you guys, do support this act. So, Sissy, I want you to explain this act and why you are supporting it, and then we're going to bring it to the why.
This federal bill is to do with the children. What we're asking, we already have passed this law here in Michigan. It went into a law in 2010 here in Michigan, where a child, if the state, the Human Department of Social Service, CPS, they want to take the child from their parents, for whatever reason they want to take that child, the important thing, that child's supposed to be placed with their familiar surrounding. That means they have aunts, uncles, grandparents, family members who are fit to take in that child. The priority is with the family members. Our concern is to minimize the damage, the emotional damage on that child.
Yes.
It is in the best interest of a child to be placed within their own familiar surroundings, to protect their identity, to protect their rights, to protect their voice. It is so hard for a child to be removed from their parents. In whatever situation they are in, the child is the one who gets hurt. What better way to preserve that child's identity, innocence, by having them within their own familiar surrounding? This bill that we're trying to introduce into the law, into federal law, it says if the state, as I said, and then they're asking for federal money. We said, okay, if you want the federal money, you already, you know, every state, they do take federal money on the children who are being removed. So what we're saying, if you want to ask federal to give you funds on said child, then you have to have that child placed with their own familiar surroundings. If the state decided not to follow the law, then they don't have the right to take the federal money.
Mm.
So, I mean, it it's a human cause. It's something we should all support, because it's to do with children. I mean, we don't have laws other than our law here in Michigan that says a child has a voice. Before our law, what became a law, the state in their manual, they say that the right of a child to be placed within their own familiar surroundings. That's their rule. But the state has a right to not follow their own rules. So that's the reason why so many kids are being lost in the system, being abused, being forgotten, because at the end, the child is paying the price of all of this. So the Amr law, it protects the innocence of that child. It doesn't matter what situation that child is in. I mean, it is in the best interest of the child to stay and with their families. It doesn't matter who they are, from where they came from. Our bill, as well as our state law, it has no prejudice. There is no, we said if an atheist was taken away from their familiar surrounding, they should be placed with their own familiar surrounding. A child has a right to be raised and has a right to grow with their own familiar surrounding until they become of age and they can choose. No one has a right to use a child as a piece of object to be removed and be tossed to wherever the state sees it fit. Law like the Amr law, the HR 102, it preserves their identity. It says to these workers, okay, you remove that child from whatever reason is, first of all, let's keep that child within familiar surrounding. And then let us worry about the reasons why that child was removed. Protect that child first. Do not damage that child. Damage him and then abuse them in the system, and then after all, and it gets lost. And no one is talking about the best interest of the child. Everybody is talking about the adults. But no one is thinking about the child's best interest. And then I urge everybody, every parent out there, what happened to us, it is happening nationwide. It's happening all over. The children are the one who's getting abused here, mentally, physically, emotionally. I mean, innocence. I mean, when the child loses its innocence, you cannot get it back. This is the child is an innocent. We're all once children. We all remember our childhood, either who was sad or who was happy. But what it matters is protect their innocence. Do not initiate to cause damage on that child by placing them outside their familiar surroundings. Protect their innocence. That child is innocent. That child is a precious. That child is God's gift. Let us protect it. Don't add more abuse and trauma on that child by taking him somewhere where it could be more damaged, more abused, and forgotten. And it falls under the cracks of the system.
Yes. So you guys, by all means, please do pass the HR 102. Very high, and Ahmed, a Mayor Foster Care Improvement Act. When we get off of this phone, you guys, when we get off of this show, you guys are going to go to Facebook. You guys are going to go to popbox.com. You guys are going to go to YouTube, and you're going to look up this sissy thing. And inshallah, you're going to let our voices be heard, and inshallah.
Sister Kalima, they can Google my name. They can Google HR 102, the Rehab and Ahmed Amr Foster Care Improvement Act, and they can put it up on Google. And then they can Google my name, A Cry for Justice, Rehab Amr YouTube. I mean, all the information out there. Our family injustice was aired nationwide. It was a high profile case that what happened to us, it was very sad, and that was one of the reasons why I could not stop fighting for other families. The law that we introduced, it had not helped my children, because my children outgrew the system and they are brainwashed. But as a parent who fallen into the injustice, I could not stand and let our injustice happen to another family, because the children are precious. The children are the one who's getting hurt and damaged. And I cannot bear as a mother to see another child being hurt, damaged, and abused as of my children at the hands of the state. I mean, that's wrong, and that's injustice, and I'm not going to crawl under the rock and say what happened to me. It just happened, and that would be the end of it. You know,
the most important point is that they took away Muslim children and put them with non-Muslims.
Yeah.
And
now,
as a non-Muslim, I am totally opposed to that. I think that's so wrong, because I just want to state that when Indians in this country have been adopted by Caucasians or people that are not Indian, and the Indians have gone to bat, and the courts in our country have supported the Indians going back to the reservation for the children to go back to be with Indians, why would you take Muslim children and put them with non-Muslims? That's outrageous. Okay, I just want to say that.
Now, I'm going to give a brief introduction, Sissy, of your story, and by all means, please, you can check me and correct me, but I got Shaitan over here a lot whispering, because I mentioned a gay and lesbian thing. My thing over here on jump off, I mean, like, gone wild. Do you hear me?
Oh, my God. You would have to bring that up, Kalima.
I'm not letting you guys through. So if you guys, any of you guys that are Muslim or anyone that are on this card, you guys push one, hang up, and push one again, because I am not letting you guys in here. Like I say, you guys is on a lot over here, okay? And I mean, it's on a hefty. So anyway, I'm going to give a brief introduction of this sister, because this is too vital for nonsense right now. This sister has lost her child. So it is an accident. Sissy, please forgive me if I do any disservice to what you're saying, because I want you to come back and correct anything that I said wrong. But this sister was charged for murder for the death of her own child. I'm making this story short. She was charged for murder for the death of her own child. To come to find out years later, after the court had messed up all the papers to have the body resumed, to find that it was a hairline fracture. The thing of the story, the moral of this story, is that this sissy is a Muslim sister. Her child was taken from her to be raised as a non-Muslim, which the children was lost to the system and brainwashed that they do not want to have anything to do with this mom now as a Muslim, because this woman's kids was taken from and raised as Christian. And I say this, what if you as a Christian family would have your children taken from you and raised as Muslims when it's not your belief? So this sissy is trying to pass is for the Muslims when they go into foster care to be raised by Muslims. When a Christian go into foster care, let them be raised by Christians. When an atheist go into foster care, let them raised by atheists. This woman has lost all of her children to the point they are grown now and do not want to have anything to do with her or her religion. This is a mother cry, and now she lost that, and she's fighting for humanity now. Not so it won't. She passed the act in her state, but now she's asking you guys to pass this nationwide so this do not happen to another family. This is a woman with a bleeding heart. Alhamdulillah, her case is not lost, because it will be with Allah. Allah is the judge. So her case will stand and be judged by Allah, inshallah. So now she's fighting a cause. And I pray you guys that have a heart. By all means, if you have any understanding, you definitely, again, can support this. We're going to bring it back before the end of the show. Again, this is the H.R. 102, the Rehab Ahmad, and Mayor Foster Care Improvement Act. You guys can, like the sister said, you can Google her name, and we're going to give that information back to for you guys to follow this and push it before it's too late. So, Susie, I want you to give us a briefing of your story, inshallah, because, again, I can't do it no service. I was with this service.
The federal bill right now is before the Congress. We're asking nationwide support to call in your representatives to ask them to get on board. When you pull up the law, there's a vote. So you can support and support or oppose. If you had reviewed the the fight. Many, sadly to say, some of them are opposing it, but as if you read, they're opposed. They're saying we don't want the state to control our kids. They're abusing our kids. Well, that's what our law is. I mean, you shouldn't be opposing it. You should be supporting it. See, some of, sadly to say, some of the people, they're not reading the law because some of their comments on the opposing side, but their comments, it's really supposed, it's supporting our cause. Either they did not read the whole act or they misunderstood it. The act is very clearly states that the child should be placed, the state shouldn't be in control of the child. The law would control, would give a voice to that child, so whoever is going to speak on behalf of the child, they have to look at the law and follow the law. And the law specifically says is the best interest of the child is to be placed with their own familiar surrounding. And it is right now before the Congress, but we're asking the support to get it up for a hearing. Because now it was reintroduced in 2013. We hope, we'll pray to God subhanahu wa ta'ala that to get a hearing by the end of this year, which is like another week left. And if not, at least our Congress, when we get a lot of support on it, they will reintroduce it again as the same thing,
yes,
but would be in 2014. We don't want it to go. I could not let this go, but we're asking, please, in the name of God, the most merciful, the beneficent, to help and to give a voice for each child. Those children, do not keep them voiceless. These children, they are looking at us. We are the parents. They are the future. We're supposed to be the voice to protect them, not the voice to condemn them. The honor law is a voice, is to protect them, that no one should have the right to tear their hearts out. No one should take their identity. They should not be placed as a piece of an object to say that you don't belong to this family anymore because we don't want you to go to this family before. You're no longer, your mother and the father, they're no longer your parents. You no longer have nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles. We have to put you in this place because we want you to be there. That's wrong. That is wrong. That's stripping the rights. That's stripping the rights of a child. God has given each child their own God fundamental rights, and we're not put on earth to destroy ourselves. God has created us from a different tribe to get to know one another, not to hurt and abuse one another because we're happen to be different. You know, we don't. Islam, it doesn't discriminate against other religion. If Islam would discriminate against any other religion, I would never be fighting for everybody else's. I would say if Islam is a religion of humanity and peace. Yes. Because what happened to us was wrong. And then I won't want it to have those people who caused me injustice and ripped my heart out. If those people came and knocked on my door and asked me to help them, I would be the first one to do so because Islam told me to do that. Islam told me to do that. I would never stoop to the law of the person who oppressed me because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not do that. Do not become that evil person. Show them what God's mercy is all about. And the Ahmad law is.
May Allah have mercy on this city. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, please, do not oppose our law because I'm a Muslim mother who's crying out for every child out there. I'm not just crying out for Muslim children, I'm crying out for all humanity, for every child out there.
My son,
who I exhumed, my son, 17 years after I buried him, my son cried not only for his sibling to believe that he wasn't killed by his mother. He cries for every child out there. So my child cries from the grave. Should not go in vain because God preserved him to prevail what God had witnessed would happen to him. When the evidence at the hospital, they were destroyed.
to find the cause of my son's death after when I was acquitted. When they stole my baby from the hospital at one day old, when they took my children away, when they told me the only way I can get my kids back, I have to say I killed my son. And I couldn't. As a young mother, I could not get my kids and raise them with fear. I could not destroy the future or set a bad precedent for other families to have their kids taken the same way. I stood on fault because I'm innocent and my children have a right and deserve to be set free. And I had to endure to exhume my son's body after 17 years of being buried to set my children to be free. But my children are too brainwashed to accept us or to believe that their brother wasn't killed, even though the medical examiner, after God had preserved my son and we autopsied and found the hairline fracture, it could never happen other than an accidental fall. Because those people destroyed my son's record. God, they planned that God, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the best of planners. They thought, I'm going to give up, because they did not know the love of a mother. The faith that I've had on God's rope that kept me going. I said, you took my children away, but you did not going to take my strength and my faith in God that's going to help me through and fight for my children. I fought for my children when they were young. I fought with my children when they were adults. And now they're just too brainwashed. And I'm fighting right now for your children. So they wouldn't face of my kids. My kids were abused. My kids were abused. They cried and no one heard them cry. I cried and no one heard my cry. Now my baby cried from the grave that got us back in the court. 22 years later, the death certificate was amended to state that his death was accidental. That was 22 years later. God prevailed us not only with my son with the record, and still my children would not accept. My kids believe that God had saved them to have them removed from a Muslim home to be placed in a Christian home. I told my kids, God is love. It doesn't matter where you are raised, but what it matters is God is love, God is mercy. God does not inflict pain on us. What happened to us wasn't from God, was from people who caused us harm. They chose to cause us harm because they were discriminated against us. They did not believe us. God prevailed us and they still kept you away. They put you in a home where they're so hateful. God, have mercy on them, you know. And I pray that for this woman who raised my children to have God's fear in her heart and maybe to take some of my pains in my heart so if she could see what she did was wrong. But I swear to God, if she came on my door and knocked on my door and she asked for my help, I would embrace her and I would be the one who helped her.
Think how God has put you in a, Allah has put you in a position to stop an injustice that is going on, that has happened to you and has happened to a lot of children.
I believe that so strongly because when the Arm Law had passed into law here in Michigan in 2010, I said, God has put me through this stuff and I've done my job and that was it. And I thought I finished. I felt I have nothing else. You know, what else need to do? You know, I've exhumed Samir's body, my baby, to set my children free. They're too brainwashed to accept it. I've introduced the law here in Michigan, and it passed. We worked on it for 5 years. Then out of a sudden, you know, we were awarded in care, you know, Muslim Council of America, we were being awarded for a Peace and Justice Award and for passing the Amr Law here. And out of a sudden, I had called, many calls, from nationwide asking me if our Amr Law could help them. And I said, no, only in Michigan. And I said, you know, you can adopt, you can ask your representatives to adopt the Amr Law, but as there's parents calling me and I can hear their pains in their voice, they're ready to give up on their kids. They lost hope. They feel like nothing they could do. They would ever get their kids back. And I said, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to take it further. And then as I was receiving our award, and we have representatives in the event, and as I went and approached the representative and the congressman, and I asked them you know, as they were apologizing for our family injustice, and as well as praising me and my husband for introducing such a law to protect the innocents here in Michigan. And I said, you know, could you take it further from me? And Representative Conyers Jr. said, what do you want? I said, could you take this to a national level? He said, sure, write me a letter. A week after that, I and my husband were at his office. And we gave him all the information, and then we went from there. And God is the most merciful, had helped us, and he introduced our law in 2012. Of June, and then here introduced again in January of 2013, and that's why we are hoping, we're praying that it would go into before the Congress in the floor so they can vote on it. If it didn't get that much support by the end of the year, our bill would go down to zero. That means either the Congress will reintroduce it again in 2014. If he decided not to, then I have to go and find another Congress who can reintroduce it for us. But it's going to be really, it's an uphill battle. God is
yes.
up there. But, you know, God, you know, asks us to call on me, and I shall hear you and answer your call. But this is a call for all of us. This is for every child, for every mother, for every parent out
and
there. This is something we all should unite. This is not a one tax thing. This is my God.
Right.
This is children. This is a humane issue. This is for humanity. This is for the future. These are for the voiceless. So give them the voice. Let them at least protect them. I mean, they have many kids who are being abused either by the parents or by anybody. But the point is, you want to take that child from whatever reason is fine, but protect that child by keeping with their own familiar surrounding. Do not
yes.
cause more harm and more abuse on that child. My children were denied everything. Every rules manual that the state has is to keep the children within familiar surrounding. They were denied. They were denied me to speak to them Arabic in the only language they know how. My children were abused in foster care. They did not remove them from that home. They kept them in the same home. They said they would rather see bruises on my kids than seeing them killed. My son, who claimed who they claim I had killed, he did not even have a scratch on him. And then from the years that we fought, we knew that the state knew that my son had a brittle bone disease because they destroyed the evidence and they kept the evidence. And then when they stole my baby from the hospital, they denied her to be tested for brittle bone disease. And later on, we found out that she had congenital abnormalities in one of her index fingers, and then the state were told to the doctor that she's an adopted child, wouldn't know anything about her family history, which is they lied because we were still visiting with our kids, and then they knew the history of our situation. So everything says they planned it and they covered up, but God is the best of planners. God preserve my son.
Yes,
you
and
know,
sister, you are exposing how corrupt our legal system is in this country.
Completely.
So, alhamdulillah, this is true because people are not awake to this fact. I've only learned about it recently with an international custody case that I was a witness in. And the legal system in this country, what they will do to prosecute a mother like you and to hide the evidence and just to get you prosecuted is so awful. I don't even have a word for how bad that is. That is just evil to me.
And then with all of that they do, they say they're protecting the child. They're so
blinded.
They're so blinded. My children, if they were raised in a normal environment, that's in a normal abused environment without the brainwashing, my children would be next to me right now, calling, fighting for
yes.
with
yes.
me. So what happened to them, it doesn't happen to anybody. But on the contrary, my kids didn't support what we're doing. My oldest, he did, and he's disconnecting us back and forth because he was made to feel guilty if he connects with us. That means he is being disrespectful to the people who supposedly adopted him. His sister, his sister's disconnected from him because he's connecting with us. I mean, it just, they put, my children are victims. They are victims of our unjust system that they placed them with the people who
really brainwashed my kids. My son, in 2005, he was 22 years old. He was interviewed by CNN. He told John Manley, the reporter, that God had to take his brother Samir to die in order for him and his sisters to be saved, to be removed from a Muslim home, to be put in a Christian
wow.
home. That was not brainwashed, whether it's, I mean, if there were ways to stay in a Christian home, in a loving, good, God-fearing Christian
home, my
children would have found their way. My children would have found their way.
Yes. Repeat that, and I'm going to repeat it if you guys haven't heard. Had her children would have been raised in a truly God-fearing Christian home, they would not have went astray, okay? Because Christianity and Islam is parallel. So had these kids would have been grown and raised in a true, genuinely Christian home, they would definitely found their way back to their mother. But because of this, these children have been brainwashed to be hateful towards their mother only because she is and was a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, Allah is great, sissy. I'm crying. I feel your cry. I feel your pain. Continue, sissy. Continue.
My daughter, when she was one day old, when she was stolen from the hospital, God heard my cries, and he placed her with a good, God-fearing Christian home. Because I was so afraid that my baby she's going to be placed in the same home of my sons and daughter who were abused over and over again at the foster mother with the help of the supervision of the state, because they saw and they witnessed my children have bruises and crying, and they shut their eyes and their ears even after that foster mother home was investigated, and they found that my children were abused there. But instead of removing them from that home, I and my husband were threatened by the social workers. If we ever say that our kids are being abused, that they would remove them to Grand Rapids. That would be like 3-4 hours away from us, and we'd never get to see them again. So they kept them in that abusive home. But with my daughter, they put her in this God-fearing home. The only time we found out after like 4 months later where my child was placed, we never knew who is it with, because they did not allow us to know the foster mother. But later on, the foster mother, like when my baby was 4 months old, I had met her accidentally after the visit had ended. My son Muhammad Ali, who was like 4 years old, and he wanted another hug from me. And I said, as I kneeled down and opened my arms, and I said to my son, "Won't you come?" And he couldn't. And I said, "Why, Mama?" He says, "Because Donna Moore, his foster mother, is holding his shirt back. He cannot come. She won't let go of his bag, so he won't come to me for a hug." And as the state worker stood and witnessed that, and the only thing she could tell me, "Well, yeah, the visit has ended." And I said, "You know what? The visit has not ended for a hug and a kiss." And I told my son, "Sweetheart, if you're not allowed to come to Mama, Mama will go to you." As I went towards my son, and I had kneeled down, and I embraced him, and I looked at my right, and I saw this woman who's holding my baby in that room, and then she was just crying, her eyes full of tears, and she looked very peaceful, and I said to myself, "Who is she? You know, she's holding my baby. This is maybe the woman who is taking care of my baby." And then the week after that, coming to the visit, she met me outside, going in together, and she told me, "You know, I always questioned, my name is Bernice Camp, and I questioned the fact how they took your baby," that she herself was a foster mother for over 15 years, that she never had a child being brought the way they brought my baby to her. She said, "The way they brought my baby as a people kidnapped from their parents, and they were so afraid, they were telling her," she said, "as she opened the door, my daughter was really thrown in her arms, and they told her, 'Here, take it, her parents is Muslims, they're very bad, and they're going to hurt you, and make sure you meet these people. The mother killed her son, and we took the other kids from her, and make sure when you go to the visit to not show yourself to these parents.'" And then Bernice kind of, the difference, she cried, and
and then she's smart and she has God's fear in her heart and she prays to God to show her the truth because she knows the system, how it works. She said not even one time they brought a child to her the same way, so she questioned their behavior. It took 4 months. 4 months that God had prevailed and answered her cries, and then she told me that she teaches my daughter to call me mama and her as a grandma, and she was taking care of my baby, and my baby became so much bonded with me, and then the state were so upset at my daughter being bonded with me, and then they told Bernice Kanab, which she testified, they asked her to lie and to say that Zainab had nightmares after visiting with us, that it's not in the best interest of Zainab to be seen by her mother. And then Bernice kind of the foster mother, she said, I will never lie. And they told her, we'll make her special need child so you'll take more money. She denied that. She said, when I die, I will be standing before God. I will never going to hurt this baby or the parent because the child is like God is talking to us through that child. The mom, she's innocent. Not only she was found not guilty, but I don't think a child would know if they are safe. And then this child, she loved her parents as if she was never was taken away from her. This is some kind of miracle. She only sees her an hour a week. So, I mean, she did testify, and they told her, if you testify and you say what we told you, you know, about us telling you to give us a report about Zainab having nightmares, that we would remove Zainab as fast as you got her. She did testify before the court, and she did expose the state, but the state, half an hour of her testimony, my daughter was taken, kidnapped from her, the same way my children were taken away while I was burying my son back in 85. I mean, if they had a reason to traumatize my kids, my twin daughter Suhair and Muhammad Ali, who was not even 3 years old back then, if they had an excuse to say, well, they have a right because they removed them that way because they feel or they think I had killed their brothers and they were doing it because of their safety. Okay, what reason did they remove Zainab the same way? She was in their own custody. She was with their own foster parent who worked for them, and she had a license for 15 years. Why did they do that? They did it because she did not follow the rules.
Sister, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. No, I'm just saying, sister, do you know the names of these people who did this to you? I think people should know about them.
Oh, yeah. Martha Carey, Kimberly Gunther, Kathleen Hart, Judy Hartsfield, Elise Fine. We have so many names. I mean, I'm telling you, in 2011, we filed a federal lawsuit against these individuals, but the federal judge said, our statute of limitation was over because we should have filed a lawsuit in 2006.
And you didn't know. You didn't know. No one told
just
you.
No, because the reason why I did not file the lawsuit is because I had a son. I have a son who was born a year after our rights were, who was born in 1991, and our rights were terminated in 89. I was expecting we were in the court of the appeals. My attorney told me if the state found out I was pregnant, then they would remove him the way they removed Zainab. They removed Zainab against the law because I was acquitted and the plan was to return my kids. But because of the laws here in Michigan, when you have your wife terminated, the state has a legal right to any future children.
Oh my God.
When I was pregnant in 1990, the attorney told me if the state found out you're pregnant, they would wait and have the baby removed. So the only thing I decided to do is I hid myself down in the basement in my home for me not to be known as a pregnant to my neighbors, to everybody, because I don't want no one to see me pregnant.
Take the
by
baby.
And then I have to travel overseas, hide my pregnancy. I was living in fear. I want to protect my baby. I don't want to show I was pregnant. If my husband comes in, he works midnight, he would take me from the backyard to be outside at night so that way I won't be seen. I hid myself as I was like a fugitive just to protect my unborn child. And then I had my baby in Canada. And I brought him here, and everybody assumed he was my nephew because I told her, I told everybody he was my nephew because if anybody
knew,
I raised my son as if he was my nephew. He was 4 years old when the media, our case became high-profile case, when the media came over and they found that my son had a bone disease and it was trying to open the case basically on there. And then I would hide my son and I would take every pictures from the wall in my home so that way no one knew I have a child. So that's I could not file a lawsuit. If I did file a lawsuit, that means I'm going to bring Hussein, my son, in the picture. I would never, nothing, no amount of money is worth a minute or an hour of him being emotionally abused. He was already, my baby was already traumatized before he was born. He was feeling my pain. He was born so afraid to be taken away from me. And I said, that's wrong. I mean, a kid is supposed to feel the mother's happiness, not the mother's fear and worries about my child is going to be taken and stolen from me. When Hussein was 13 years old, when a judge, Thomas, God bless him, he says, like, he was like, he's been like 27 years on the bench. He has not seen a case like the Amr. He says, there's nothing in the record to say that the state has a right to take your children. On the contrary, you were acquitted. Your son who had passed, they knew he had a brittle bone disease and they kept the evidence away from you.
He said that's so sad
and he would cry. He says, as I and my husband entered the room of the, he would go in the chambers and he would sob like a baby. He said the media was present and he ordered Wayne County to amend my son's death certificate. And then he issued an order exactly in 2005 to have my son's death certificate amended to say his death was classified accidental. And the judge came in and he says, we have, I wish that your children were under the age, 18. I wish, you know, if they were adopted or not, I myself would have gone to that home and grabbed your kids and put them in your arms because what happened to you was wrong. And then my son was saved. As I called him and gave him the news, he kept all the pain bottled up inside. And the only thing he would say, Mama, Mama, everybody now can know I am your son and no one can take me away from you.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
And then my son, my 13-year-old, he's been so... He was bottled up all these pains inside. Now he felt he was free. And even though I did not, I said, you know, and then when we tried to bring the lawsuit, I could not do it before his 18th birthday because I had a fear that because of the termination, even though the death certificate amended, I have to go back to the court and redo the whole record again. I did not have the energy or the funds to go back to the court to get my, you know, to change the records of my parents' wife.
Sissy, that is the time going off too fast.
I am just so horrified right now at what the sister has been. I don't even have words to say. This is just so injustice, something so horrible that they. Why would they come after you? Why was it because you were Muslim or what was it that they? I mean that they would really just. Well, I just think the legal system is so corrupt in this country. I think that's just what it comes down to.
They made a mistake. Everything.
And they covered it up.
Discrimination. They made a mistake. Instead of correcting it, they covered it up. And not only that, they made sure that our children, when they become of an age, not to accept us. Because if my children become of a legal age, like 18, and they had accepted us, they would have, like, till the age of 21 to get back on the state and tell them, why did you do this to me? They did not even, they made sure that our children would never go back and ask the state why they did that to them. They put them in a family, in a home where they, that's all they do. They brainwash kids. I mean, CNN told me, they told me, this is the first time I heard, you know, I've been in this country since 1977. I never heard of, they always say, Muslim fundamentalists. I never heard of a Christian fundamentalist before.
Right.
I was told that your children were placed in a Christian fundamentalist home. They're Pentecostal. I said, what do you mean Pentecostal? They said,
oh, my God.
That's all they do. They believe in brainwashing. My kids,
yes.
They told me that we all, everybody, they told me we're all going to go to hell. The Muslims, the Jews, the Christians who's not Pentecostal, we're all going to go to hell. Only the Pentecostal faith is going to go to heaven. That's how they were brainwashed.
Oh, my God.
And that's how the people made him believe. And then when my son, you know, when she sent him, when he turned 18 years old, she sent him to the missionary Tin Minya in Texas. My son would call me and would cry. He says, "Mama, please, please, I don't want you to go to hell. I need you to convert." To
my
so I don't
oh
want
my God.
And my brother would go to hell. And I would cry and I would tell my son, "Sweetheart, you know, God does not, you know, wouldn't discriminate against, it's against my religion to discriminate against your religion." I said, and the only thing I told my son, I said, "Honey, convince me I'm in the wrong faith. I am open. Convince me. Read the Quran. Read everything. Just convince me." And the only thing my son would say, "Mama, we're not allowed to read anybody else's books. We're only allowed to read our books." I said, then you cannot tell me I'm in the wrong faith. Convince me that I'm in the wrong faith. I said, "I'm not asking you to turn to Islam. It's up to you, but you have to make a choice." And he said, "We can't because your faith goes to hell." And that's why God
saved. Oh, my God.
My kids are victims. My children
are victims. They are victims.
And that no matter what, my children are adults, and my heart aches for them.
And they have warped the minds of your children. They have absolutely
warped
their minds.
They warped them so badly. They damaged them so badly because they made them feel all the pain and the horror that they went through out of God's love. How could you do that to the child? How could you abuse him mentally, physically, emotionally? You told this is God loves you. How could you inflict so much pain on that child and blame that on God? And you're making God, the foster mother, when I exhumed Samir's body, my twin daughter, Suhir, she's a twin to Samir. She told me after she accepted the fact that her brother had a brittle bone disease, and she was accepting to see me. That's after 14 years of not knowing where my children at. We had our rights terminated, and we still were fighting until 95 when we got the evidence that my son had a brittle bone disease, and that she had accepted it, and we got to see her, but the foster mother would not allow me to see them, only at church. I said, "Fine, church is the house of God." She thought, "No, because I'm a Muslim, I'm not going to go into the church." I said, "No, on the contrary, the church is the house of God. We can enter the church." But she assumed that I would deny, and she wants to distance my kids away from me. Then all of a sudden, my daughter did accept the fact that her brother had a brittle bone disease, and she was happy to see me. And my herb dead. And then after that, the foster mother told her, the doctor told us, "You were never going to know exactly what happened to your brother until you die and meet him in heaven." That
oh, my God.
Sign.
Oh, my God.
That was a sign to take my child away. And then my daughter, she became very rigid, very angry
at
me.
Oh, no.
And I held her and I said, "Honey, what did I do? I'm not a perfect, I'm your mom, but I'm not perfect. Did I do anything to hurt you? Did I say anything? Please tell me, what did I do?" And the only thing my daughter would tell me, "Mama, I can never accept you and be able to get on with my life until I die and go to heaven and ask my brother what happened to him." I put my hand on her chest. I said, "God,
oh, my God. Sister, I don't even know how you're even able to be standing or talking at this time. I would have just been... You are a very strong sister because I myself would have just been so devastated. I'm afraid I would have just taken my own life. I would have been so devastated by this horror that happened to me.
God's love, the faith I have in me, God, if I did not have the faith and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy, if I did not have God in my heart, I would be not here. I would be
right.
My love for my children and my faith had helped me strong. I could not let Satan enter my heart and do harm to myself and to others. God's love in my heart that helped me strong, that I took all my pain and all the grief that I have and all the sorrows I have to do something good about it, to do laws, to make a difference.
And you know, sister, on Judgment Day that these people are going to really pay for what they've done to you, and in the meantime you can awaken people so this does not happen to other people, and so people do not get away with doing something like this. The Pentecostal religion is a very scary religion to me. It really is.
I
would hate to see a child brought up in that religion, especially if they were Muslim to begin with.
Okay, Sissy, you guys, hold still right there. Hold it right there, you guys. I'm going to get out the bill still, and I'm going to let this Sissy come
back. Okay.
Definitely get your information out so you guys can definitely support this card. And pass this H.R. 102, the Rehab and Ahmad Amer Foster Care Improvement Act. Definitely, you guys, you have 1 week left to do this. If you guys have a heart, if you've been following the story today, by all means, if you guys have any questions, any concerns for this sister before we over. We're over at 6:30. By all means, push one on that phone. That number is 646-716-4478. 111, the Abdul Shaitan's been left the building after I made that announcement. Everyone's been flipped off. But 111, you guys, definitely, if you guys want to purchase a membership, you guys can purchase a membership here. The American Muslim Free 60, you guys can purchase a membership. It's $99 for business organizations and masters. $24.99 for regular, and $14.99 for students and seniors. You guys also can purchase an advertisement, commercial advertisement. You can contact Brother Thomas Abdul-Salam at the same link at www.AmericanMuslim360.com. Also, you guys, if you would like to host your own show, by all means, bring your cards, bring your care, bring your topic to the table. Let's put it out there for the Muslims, inshallah. You can contact Brother Thomas Abdul-Salam, again, at the same link, that's www.AmericanMuslim360.com. Guys, if you would like to be a guest here on the Muslim Reality Show, you guys can inbox me on Facebook. I'm under Kalima Abdul-Rashid. You can email me, Kalima@iCloud.com. You guys can also follow me on Instagram. I'm on the social networks, you guys, definitely. You guys, next week, do come tune into next week's show. Our topic is, what are you high on? It is the drugs and the Muslims. You guys definitely follow this show with Abu Jamila. So tune into that show. That's next week, you guys. We have some great up-and-coming shows. But do definitely follow this Sissy card after the show. By all means, we want to give that information again. That again, we have 1 week left. Please, by all means, you can go to my page, Facebook, to get more information on this. I'm asking you, Sissy, I just want to give you this information because we are mirrors to one another. When I look in the mirror, I see myself. So I'm going to say this in May law, you know, guide us and accept us. We know that that baby is safe, definitely, with the law. That baby is safe, alhamdulillah. Nothing happened.
Oh, yes.
The pen is lifted, the pages are dry. This is your test. This is your test, Sissy. Before Allah even created you, Allah knew this was going to be your test. Anything other than that, we have to beat out our faith. We know that Allah chose you. You have to know that Allah chose you. It is heartfelt. You know that. Alhamdulillah, you is strong. You is bold. You is courageous. You have to, and you had, alhamdulillah, accepted. We know that everything happened by the permission of Allah. And I say this as I say what I say to you, I have to say to myself, because I'm going through some hardships myself, but I have to remember that that it would rain and I would not get wet. And I say, you know, to those that drive, did you think you would get in your car and ride down the street and not incur potholes, detours, or even stop signs? We know that this is why Allah said it is called the decree. And whatever happened at the end of all of our decision-making, all of our hands, and if the whole world gathered up to give you what you have, it's what Allah has allowed you to have. If the whole world has gathered up to take what you have, it is what Allah has decreed you to have. Not nothing can happen at all without the permission of Allah. I have to say that. So definitely know that even with your kids, for them to be brainwashed and where they are, Allah has that. You know, inshallah, just keep making dua, because we know that dua is the only thing that changes the decree. We don't know the whys with the law. That is why we have to continue to put our faith in the law. We know the air is real. We feel the air. We feel it, but we can't see it. So, alhamdulillah, may Allah continue to bless you, give you that strength. My heart goes out to you. I've shed so many tears. I don't know how many people I have told this story to this week. You know, humane and humanity is starting to get cold-hearted and hard-hearted. The hearts are getting black. So inshallah, Allah knows. But he hears your cries, because you are not exempt. Allah says, you know, every leaf that falls from the tree. So he hears you, guys. Definitely help this to be past the bill. It definitely,
She has 1 week left. By all means, please, I am begging you. I'm begging. I have no pride to put aside. I'm begging you to help this sister again pass this H.R. 102, the Rehab and Ahmed Armair Foster Care at, Improvement Act. Again, would you like for your Christian kids to be raised in a non-Christian environment? Would you like your atheist kids to be raised in a non-atheist environment? Whatever you have, support that, inshallah. Let them speak to them. This is just our cause. It's not a lost cause, alhamdulillah. Now she's fighting for humanity. She passed the bill in her state, in Michigan, alhamdulillah. Now she's taking it to the floor in Congress for passage nationwide. By all means, help this city. Push this bill. Mayor Lowry, would you? I'm asking all you guys, because we're running out of time, and I'm going to give the rest of this time back to this sister. I thank you guys for supporting Muslim Reality. You know, Sissy Debbie, you're always there for me. Mayor Lowry rewards you. If I do not meet and or see you guys in this life, I pray it is in the Jannah. My goal is in the Jannah. It's the Jannah. Whatever I have to go through, I'm going to make drop to the knee. But, hey, you can't fall when you're on the ground, but get up. So, alhamdulillah, you call yourself a believer, you will be tested. I have to say I love you, sister, for the sake of Allah. I'm going to ask you to continue to give that information for those that need it. Anything you want them to know, you have. I'm giving you the right. If you have 10 minutes left, anything you want to let the audience know, by all means. I have a three. You guys, again, if you have any questions, anything for this, sister, push one on that phone. I'm begging you. Sister, the floor is yours. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Are you there? Yes. Please, continue. Thank you so much. God bless you for this opportunity. You are such a blessing. God helped me all these years together to meet such a wonderful people who are spreading the message of love to all. Your radio, it's a blessing. And I pray to God that I've reached many parents out there, and I pray to God that touches all hearts to know that our bill is a humane law that would provide justice to all, and then provide a better society, protect the children, which they are the future. This is such an important act, and it's as you said, God chose me, and God gave me more than I deserve. God, I am grateful for everything I've gone through, and grateful for everything I've endured. I'm still here, and I'm still talking, and I'm still fighting because God's mercy is on me, and this is something I could never describe my love for my God, the creator of heaven and earth. He held me and protected me for all these years and protected my children, even though they went through this horrible nightmare. And is there, you know, I pray to God that my children will find their way into the house to know that God is about love. God does not inflict pain on anybody else. God is mercy. And God does not take one child from a parent just because they happen to be in a different place. God created us from a different tribe. God created us, the Muslims, the Jews, and Christians. And He created us. If God wanted one sex, He would have created one sex. But He created us from a different colors because it's about love and about unity, about peace, about getting to know one another. That's the love of God on us. I mean, your fingers, they're not alike. He could have created us all the same, The life would have been so dull, you know. But God's mercy is fall upon each one of us. But I pray to God that our message will find all hearts. And as I pray for the woman who abused and torn my heart out, for her to find peace in her heart, to find peace in her heart, and know what she's done is wrong, so that way she can ask for forgiveness. She believed what I did to exhume my son's body to bring peace to my child. She believed what I did was Satan. What I done was Satan's work. She does not think what I've done was God's work, you know. But the point, I pray for her. I pray for her, for all these people who caused harm on me and my children, to find to really see what they've done is one, because you know, when that's, when your time has come, that's it. You know, you cannot undo the wrong, but as long as you have a breath in you, you can do the wrong. You can ask forgiveness, and God is so merciful. You know.
Yes. I'm going to take this call. I'm going to see if it's just, a call for you. I'm going to open up this mic to be down for a few minutes. As-salamu alaykum. What's your reality?
My reality is,
I
can't hear you. Sound like I'm?
We can't hear you. Your reality is what?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I hear you.
Yeah, this is Rashawn. I was calling. Lima?
Yes.
Salam.
I'm here.
What's going on?
Do you have a question, comment, concern?
Yes, I have a question. This is acting like for a little bit of advice. What happens when you're dealing with a person who doesn't really want to deal with the truth? How do you deal with a person like that?
Take it to Allah. That's the first thing you have to do. Take everything to Allah. Take it to Allah, and hey, may Allah answer your supplication. As-salamu alaykum.
I'm not finished talking.
Okay. Well, we're at the end here.
Well, we're down to 6:25:50. We're going to give this show to you, inshallah. So definitely,
yeah.
You guys, fight the sister cards. Again, this is to you guys. Pass this bill. It's the HR-102, the Rehab and Ahmad and Mayor Foster Care Improvement Act, inshallah. This is something serious. Again, we have 1 week left. You guys can go to my page under Kareem Abdul-Rashid and get more information. You guys, again, can Google Sissy. Give them all the information they need that they can follow you. They can Google you under a woman's cry.
They can Google my name. They can Google, like, A Cry for Justice YouTube. We have Amor. Or they can Google, there's another, like, a cries from the grave, .com. You know, and they can put, we have Amor, Ahmad Amor, it's everything. I mean, everything they have, it's on the website. I mean, it's on the Google. Yeah, every media coverage they've done since our case began over 25 years ago, it's in there. It's all the information is on Google.
Alhamdulillah, definitely, guys. Please, I am begging. This Sissy begging. Sissy Debbie is begging. I'm sure you guys know that. Following her page. She has a whole page on this on Facebook, guys. Definitely, guys, can go to that page, and that page is Past HR-102, the Rehab, and Amir Foster Care Improvement Act. Definitely, guys, speak for it, inshallah. Let your voice be heard. May Allah answer the supplication of the supplicant. Sissy, again, I cried so much because, again, I consider this a mother's love, but yet this is not a love story because I don't know. You know, you never know what you have. You never know how strong you are until you have to be strong to see. And again, like you said, 22 years later, oh my goodness, for them to, you know, to come to find out that, I mean, you spend time in prison for this. I mean, to come to find out, to get this baby body resumed, to find out that it was a hairline fracture that had nothing to do with any type of abuse at all, to have your largest test you with a huge test. Mashallah.
You know, even the doctor who had, when we examined our son, he said back in 85, he was the chief medical examiner. He was out of town. He said his assistant medical examiner did the autopsy and classified my son's death homicide. I mean, this doctor, when I examined my son 17 years later, went back to him. And he said if he had known about our son, he would never classify it as homicide. He says, no wonder why you were acquitted. Even though before we even exhumed Samir's body, to look at his autopsy report, it did not fit the classification of homicide. He testified it was homicide, but I was acquitted by his own testimony 10 minutes later by a jury of my peers. But the point is that doctor, after 17 years, and went back to the same medical, to the chief medical examiner, who had said if he had known about it, the way God had brought it back to him. He said he should have done the autopsy, but he never knew back then. But 17 years later, went back to him. And then he, God preserved my son to be re-x-rayed. And he said the hairline fracture, the head has to be a certain way, and there is no way other than accidental fall. He says I could not believe. No wonder why Wayne County Medical Examiner Officer destroyed my son's autopsy record. Everything on my son was destroyed. It's like they went
so far, he destroyed everything. We're down to 50 seconds, you guys. Definitely, you can give your slams to anyone you want. I love you guys. More Muslim Reality next week. If you like Sissy, you the rest, you can give your slams. I love you for the sake of Allah. May Allah continue to bless you and give you the strength. You guys definitely support the sack. More Muslim Reality. Go to the page for more info. Sissy, you've got slams to give. You can give it right now to any loved ones. I swear, like, your kids, anyone.
Thank you so much. God bless you. I pray that my children are hearing me. I will tell them that I love you. I love you from Omaha. I've done all I promised you when you were 4 years old, that Mama and Baba were never going to give up on you. And then we've been fighting for you for 28 years, and we have not given up on you. We love you so much. And our doors and our hearts are open to you. And then...
Sounds like the sissy. We are out of here. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.